Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, really pumped for today's episode because not only is it timely and really important, I've also created a free resource to help you with setting goals in a way that you will actually achieve them. Obviously, yes, this is a time of year where a lot of people feel a higher degree of clarity and motivation and drive. There's just a natural sense of a blank slate that comes with a new year. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think we should capitalize on that. I know there's a lot of talk around not setting New Year's resolutions, and I understand why, because if they're not effective, and for a lot of people they're not, then it just seems like a silly cycle to put yourself in. But I say, let's capitalize on that momentum and on that drive, but let's do so in a way that's more effective than how we've done it before. I have certainly been someone to set lofty goals at the start of a new year, write them down in a notebook, and then see that notebook a few years later and kind of laugh and roll my eyes at myself because I maybe pursued them for a month or two and was consistent for maybe a couple of weeks. And I don't want that for you. It really can erode confidence and make us jaded about goal setting overall if we don't have confidence in our ability to do what we say we're going to do, or if we're setting goals with a high degree of doubt, or if we know what we want but aren't clear on how we're going to get there. So let's collectively agree that we will absolutely take advantage of the drive that often accompanies a new year and a new month, but we're going to do so in a new way, in a way that has a lot more strategy behind it. And for me personally, this strategy has come on the back of a lot of failure and a lot of struggle and a lot of not following through. So what I want to do with you is share a process for setting goals that works, that is different than just aspiration, that is different than simply having clarity around what you want, that is different than just writing it down. And I've created a worksheet so that you can do this yourself. I say this all the time, but it can't be said enough. It isn't helpful to just listen to a podcast, but not put the work in on the back end. It's a double-edged sword, the fact that there's so much information available to all of us. It's a double-edged sword because sometimes we're just taking in all of the information and we're not doing anything with it, or we're not doing enough with it to make it our own and to make it part of our practice. So I created this worksheet to hopefully prompt you to do the work on the back end. But before we get into that, and I share with you this spreadsheet and the process behind it, this episode is actually brought to you by the Luma Box. I don't know if any of you saw this. This is kind of a funny story. I've been using Red Light for years and years. If you go back probably 7 or so years on this podcast, you'll have heard me talk about the Red Light that I bought, and I loved it and I used it regularly, but it was big and it was clunky. So I was actually influenced over, I think it was a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, when, you know how it seemed like companies really jumped on Black Friday, Cyber Monday way early this year? I kept seeing ads for and people posting the Luma Box, which is Red Light, but it's in a small portable device. And I was really intrigued by it. I very well know the tons of science behind red light therapy. It is not disputable that it improves blood flow, which speeds healing. It can boost energy and mood because light therapy in general can do that. But specifically, red light therapy is unique in its ability to reduce inflammation, help with joint pain, help with skin health. So I've been using it for a really long time, but not in this portable way. And I knew that if it was something I could just carry in my hand or set on my desk or bring into bed with me while I'm reading or falling asleep at night, I would use it a lot more often. So I actually paid for the LumaBox, which is this small, it's like slightly larger than my hand. It's probably about 6 inches long, maybe 4 inches wide-ish. And I was influenced. I bought it, used it so regularly and felt the effects of it, felt the benefits of it from, you know, morning light exposure, because I don't know what season it is where you are, because we got listeners from all over the world. But here it's winter, it's dark a lot. So I've been starting my day with it. I've been using it on my lower back where I tend to have a little bit of discomfort since I had the twins, or since I was pregnant with the twins. And just using it wherever I have muscle soreness. I tweaked something in my foot and I've been using it there every morning. And I reached out to the company and I said, hey, I love this. It's amazing. It was one of my best purchases of the year. Can I have a discount code for my audience? And they said yes, which is amazing. Always ask. A lot of times when I reach out to companies, they say no, but the LumaBox said yes. And not only did they say yes, but the discount code that they gave me cuts the price nearly in half for you. It's not cheap. I want to say it's regularly around like $600-ish, which absolutely is crazy. But if you think about the fact that you would pay maybe $30 or $40 a session for red light therapy at a chiropractic office or some sort of esthetician or something. So my coupon code, which is just my full name, Elizabeth Benton, one word, takes $280 off. It cuts the price nearly in half. It's bonkers. I was at my sister and her girlfriend were here for Christmas, and I was telling them that it was easily one of my best purchases. And I brought it downstairs and I was showing it to them, and they were like, oh my gosh, we need to get this. And I gave them my code. And when I gave them my code, I was taking Roman up for bed. And when I came back down, they were like, your code like cut the price in half. I said, I know, it's crazy. So anyway, you just go to thelumabox.com. That's the LumeBox, the LumaBox, LumeBox.com. The coupon code is Elizabeth Benton, just my name, one word, and that cuts the price almost in half, just about in half. I highly recommend it. I think it's amazing. All right, enough about that. I'll put the link in the show description in case you're driving right now or can't write it down. No big deal. I'm loving it, and I think you will too. And if you get it, let me know. I would love to chat with you about it, because I'm just geeking out on red light right now. Okay. You are probably listening to this because at some point you have set a goal with great intentions and then not followed through. Maybe you made a little bit of progress and life got in the way, or maybe you just felt totally overwhelmed by the process and psyched yourself out and maybe even went in the opposite direction. I've certainly done that. I've set goals to lose 50 pounds in a year and ended up gaining 10 or gaining 20. But at the same time, I've seen a lot of people just stop setting goals altogether. And look, you know what works for you, but I think there is a tremendous amount of value in setting goals. And in fact, by setting a goal, you're already more likely to achieve it. Just by setting a goal, you're 43% more likely to achieve it than if you don't and you're just sort of winging it willy-nilly. You don't have a clear objective in mind. That's a big deal. But when we set goals by saying, I'm going to lose this many pounds this year, or I'm going to work out this many times per week, or I'm going to make or save or pay off this amount of money, there are a lot of problems with those types of goals. First of all, they lack urgency. So if you say, I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year, in January and February and March and April, there's very little urgency. You can continue to say, I'll start tomorrow. I'll do better tomorrow. I'll do better once the kids go back to school, or once this birthday celebration is over, or once we get past this Valentine's Day holiday, and still feel very capable of hitting the goal because you have 9 months left in the year. You have 10 months left in the year. You have 6 months left in the year. So those types of goals make it very easy to say, oh, today it's okay. You know, that's no big deal. If I do this today, I can start tomorrow. So they lack urgency. They also lack a lot of clarity on what it's going to take to get there. If you say, I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year, you don't have clarity on what you need to do today. You have all of the options in the world. You could do this, you could do that, you could not do this, you could not do that. Today you could focus on eating less sugar. Tomorrow you could focus on intermittent fasting window. The next day you could focus on being more active. And because they lack this clarity, it's very hard to build momentum because those types of goals allow you to be all over the place. Right? If we say we're going to save $10,000 this year, well, maybe this week you're focused on spending a little bit less, and next week you're diving into streams of income and ways to build additional streams of income, and you're just listening to all of these podcasts about making more money. It's very challenging to build momentum when you don't have clarity on the action steps to get there. So just by nature of the fact that we're more likely to achieve our desired outcomes if we set goals, I want you to set goals. But I don't want you to set goals that are broad, that give you all the time in the world to get there, and that lack this clarity, because it's really challenging to stay on track with goal pursuit if you don't have momentum. I'll give you an example. So I had set a daily driver, and we'll talk about what that is and what that means in a minute, of not having sugar. That is so clear and so specific that when we had a post-Christmas little Christmas get-together with my mom's family the other night, and the cocktail menu looked amazing. In fact, I'm going to do a whole episode on the mindset around that. Normally, if I just had a weight loss goal, it'd be like, it's one drink. It's no big deal. It's, you know, Christmas. It's party. I can still achieve my goals with one drink. One drink isn't going to make a difference, right? But because I had this clarity and this specificity around not having sugar, it made that decision a lot easier. There's certainly more mindset that goes into it, but the momentum piece is another one. With this daily driver of no sugar, after 3 days, I could really start to feel the momentum. And the momentum for me came in a number of ways. I've shared with you guys before that I have, since having kids, I've had more anxiety. I think it's a postpartum anxiety thing, which, hey, super logical. I mean, my twins almost didn't make it. They were born super premature. My firstborn died unexpectedly. Like, it's been crazy. The anxiety makes a lot of sense, but cutting out sugar slashed my anxiety dramatically. And so when you feel that momentum, you don't want to stop, right? And then the other way that momentum came was in terms of energy. I have felt twice as much energy easily, even little things like my 2-year-old is in a chase me, mom, chase me phase. And the other day, though he can walk and he can run, he was crawling on the floor, pushing cars around, chase me, mom, chase me, mom. And so I'm on my hands and knees, crawling around the kitchen island for 15, 20 minutes. And I thought several times, this feels good. And there have been times when it hasn't felt good, or I've felt really tired, or I've felt aches and pains in my joints. And that kind of momentum makes it so easy to stay in the game. But if you lack that momentum because you're doing a little bit of this day and you're doing a little bit of that the next day, it's hard to stay in the game when you're not experiencing that momentum. Then there's the momentum that comes from seeing results, like actual results towards the goal. So weight loss in this example, you don't want to break that momentum. In addition to having more energy, my body has felt better. I have not had the aches and pains in the joints and the back and the feet and all of that. And you don't want to break that. And so it makes that moment of, ooh, that cocktail menu looks amazing. And, oh, it's a special occasion. And I probably won't be here again. And I've never been to this place. And everybody's having a drink. Those moments, those decisions are so much easier when you have clarity, and especially when you have momentum. So here is the process that I use for my goals. The first thing I want to say about it, though, is I really recommend a small number of goals. Absolutely, positively, we all probably have 50 or 75 goals we could set. There's no doubt about it that I want to do a better job of keeping my bedroom clean and organized. There's no doubt about it that I want to improve things about my home and things about my office and things about my business and things about my marriage and my parenting, like any area of my life, I could set a goal. But I think it's very important to focus on just a couple of things. For you, that might be one, it might be two, it might be three. I do not recommend more than three, even though, yes, I know every single one of us has 103 things that we could set as goals. Think about it this way as you're trying to hone in on them. First, there's no right goal. So don't try to get it right, because there's not a right goal to pursue and a wrong goal to pursue, but there are going to be goals that have disproportionately more benefit for you. Think about it this way. If you got to the end of the year and all you had achieved or accomplished was this one thing or these three things, you would be feeling proud. Focus in on those ones. Really keep the number small. And I'll say this, if you are somebody who has never followed through on a goal or rarely followed through on a goal, then I recommend you have like a one goal starting point, max two goals. If you're somebody that's like, no, I do pretty well, but I definitely want to get better, then I would say you probably have a little more wiggle room to do three, but I would not do more than three. Because you just fragment your focus and you put too much on your plate, less is more. It doesn't mean that we're not working towards those things. For example, I absolutely want my marriage to get better, but that is not one of my three goals. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to think about things like scheduling date nights and being more affectionate and being less critical. I absolutely am. Just because something is not a defined goal that you are in daily pursuit of does not mean that it's not getting any of your energy or any of your attention, any of your time. It is. All right. So let me be clear about that. Even though I don't have a specific goal around finances. I have one around my business that you could technically call finance, but I don't have a specific money goal this year. I'm still every single day, just by nature of being alive and working and paying bills and spending money and saving money, I'm still working on improving my finances, but it's not necessarily a defined goal. One goal, maybe two goals, at most three goals. All right. The process that I use, I set the goal for the year. You could choose to do it for the quarter. I'm going to walk you through my process for the year. And again, I've created a worksheet. I'll tell you at the end of the episode how you can get it for free. But I define my goal for the year, and then I make a compelling case for it. And I revisit this compelling case every single day. So let me give you an example. I was talking about weight earlier. We'll use that as an example. I know there's a lot of people listening who have goals around weight or fitness or health. When I'm creating my compelling case, it's basically how I come back every single day to why this matters so much. Because for a lot of my life, the compelling case that I made was for indulging. I deserve it. I'm stressed. I'm tired. This one thing won't hurt. I'll do better tomorrow. I'm going to get it out of my system. I want to always be in the practice of creating a compelling case for this goal that I'm in pursuit of. So if I have a weight loss goal, I establish the goal and then I make a compelling case for it. It's not like, oh, I need to be more healthy. It is specific and it is comprehensive. So you'll want to spend a good bit of time writing up the compelling case that you're going to revisit daily, hopefully multiple times a day. You think about it when you're taking a shower. You think about it when you're working out. You think about it when you're washing the dishes at the end of the day or you're getting dressed in the morning. make a compelling case for why this matters. So when I think about my weight, I think about wanting to have a ton of energy. I think about wanting my body to feel really good. I think about not wanting to give disease a chance. I think about how important it is for my confidence and my desire to be social. I think about how important it is for the example I set for my kids and what they grow up seeing as normal. All of those things, I just make notes about it. And then I'm telling myself that story every single day, because chances are, whatever your pattern is, whatever that habit is you want to break, that has a lot of reps in the compelling story. For me, I had a lot of reps with I'll start tomorrow, this one thing won't hurt, I don't even care, what's the point? And we have to get more reps in with the compelling story that compels us towards our goal, right? That moves us in that direction, that keeps us in pursuit of that outcome. We have to remain aligned there, and we just need more practice with that story. We need that to become the most common story. So I establish the goal. I do it for the year. I write the compelling why. And then the next step I take is saying, by the end of quarter one, I need to be about here to be on track. And by the end of quarter two, I need to be about here to be on track. And by the end of quarter three, if I'm here, I'll know I'm on track. And by the end of quarter four, I need to be here. So I'm essentially not dividing it in four. And I'll tell you why it's not as simple as dividing it in four. But I'm setting out mile markers that are a shorter term goal that let me know I'm on my way. Now, the reason it's not as simple as, say, dividing it in four, obviously some goals are not numerical. You know, if you have a goal of writing a book, it might not be that you have one quarter of the book written at this time and a half of the book written by halfway through the year and three quarters, because you might spend the first quarter creating the outline. But when we look at something like weight, let's say you wanted to lose that 30 pounds. We're not just going to divide it in four, because it's very often that you lose weight faster at the beginning and slower as you get closer to your goal. Or it could be that you're going to start really slow with minor changes. And so you might see slower progress and results towards the beginning. And then as your habits change and you create a larger degree of time over time, that your results will accelerate. So all of those things get factored in. For one of my business goals, the first quarter, knowing I'm on track, is really work that happens in the background that isn't necessarily going to show itself in the way that I'm measuring results over a course of a year. So really put some thought into, I'll know I'm on track for this goal if I'm here by the end of quarter one, and then I'll want to be here by the end of quarter two. Then the next step is, for that chunk of progress you've assigned for the first quarter, let's look at this month. And in this example, we're going to talk about the month of January, though I know you could be listening to this in April, or some of you will be listening to this in December. What are the daily drivers that I need to have in place in January that keep me in pursuit of that quarter end target? In January, I need to focus on these action steps. And like our goals overall, I don't want this to be 12 action steps. I see so many people, and I see this often in the consistency course, because that's often where people are sharing with me their goals and their action steps. I see so many people write out a list, a lot, like 12 things. I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to take my supplements. I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to be lifting four times a week. I'm going to be eating less sugar. I'm going to follow the goal. No. When we talk about daily drivers, when we talk about actionable attention on a daily basis, we're talking about a couple, maybe a few things. And like with goals, if this is a new process to you and you don't have a lot of confidence in your ability to reach a goal, or you're really having to make a major change to your behavior and your baseline habits, One daily driver. Maybe up to three. But this also isn't something like you're going to have reading daily and you already read daily. You're going to have Bible time daily and you already do Bible time daily. I'm one of those people where I love to write something down and cross it off. But this is not that kind of thing where it's like, it feels so good to cross this off every day and have that dopamine rush, even though I'm already doing it. These are behavior change daily drivers that deliver a result you are looking for, okay? So things that really move the needle. An example of one of those daily drivers for me is zero sugar. Does that mean that my expectation is in the entire month of January I have zero sugar? No. But maybe out of a 30-day month, I might have sugar once or twice. But the goal is to track consistency in that thing. Another example is strength training. Strength training might be a daily driver. Does that mean I strength train 7 days a week? No. No, but you want to have real clarity around what your expectation is. So if my expectation is strength training 4 days a week, then I'm very specific about that expectation and I'm tracking it. I use the consistency calendar. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Same thing with sugar. I want the majority of the days to be without sugar, and maybe I'm having sugar once or twice a month, maybe. So these daily drivers are one to three things that are going to move the needle. Now, what I do not want you to do is define daily drivers for the whole year. In January, I'm going to do this. In February, I'm going to do this. In March, I'm going to do this. In April, I'm going to do this. I want you to focus on just the next month or the month that you are in, because at the end of that month, we're going to be able to look back and say, what worked? What didn't? Did this move the needle? Did it not? Do I need to take this off the list? Do I need to keep this on the list? You know, for some people, they'll set a goal like drinking more water. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But for a lot of folks, that's not a needle mover. For some people, it absolutely is, because they find that if they drink more water, they snack less often. Or if they drink more water, they're feeling more aligned with healthy behaviors. And so it is a needle mover. But a lot of folks, it's not a needle mover. And I don't want you to keep it on the list if you learn that it's not a needle mover. Okay, so we're only going to determine those daily drivers 1 month at a time. They do not need to change every month, but they absolutely can. So on this worksheet that I'm going to give you access to, it gives you the space to define the goal, the compelling case, to divide out kind of where you need to be end of quarter one, end of quarter two, end of quarter three, end of quarter four, and month by month, identifying those daily drivers, those actionable attention items for each day. But that isn't where it should stop. This is the document that you use to kind of fine-tune, get clarity, come up with a plan. It is incredibly important that you are tracking your execution of those daily drivers. This is a step a lot of people miss. I want you tracking in whatever way works for you how those daily drivers are going. It can't just be an intention in your mind that you want to get 10,000 steps a day. I want you writing down in your journal, in your notebook, on your consistency calendar, what number of steps did you get today? You need to see it. You need to be bringing your attention to it daily, because otherwise, this will just fall into the realm of every other failed goal approach, where you spend the time creating the spreadsheet, you feel really good about it, and then you don't do the daily drivers. What I use to track my execution of the daily drivers, to track my consistency, is I use the consistency calendar. You've probably heard me talk about it before, but essentially I created this poster size wall calendar. It's a year at a glance. So when the poster's up there, you see January all the way through December. And in the first block of every month, you can write down what your daily drivers are. And then If you purchase this, it comes with a starter set of stickers. And you, let's say that strength training gets a blue sticker. Any day that you strength train, you put a blue sticker on that day. So it's very easy to visually say, oh crap, it's been 6 days since I've had a blue sticker. Let's get that sticker today. Let's earn that sticker today. I also really like the Streaks app, but I use both because if I'm out and about and I'm taking a class at the gym, I might mark that I did my workout for the day on the app, but I really love having that at a glance visual that comes from the consistency calendar. I'll link it up in the show description if you're wanting to get one. And like I said, it comes with a starter sheet of like 100 stickers or something like that. So that's how I track it daily. You can do it in a notebook. You can do it on some other app, but you must track the daily drivers. Staying engaged on a daily basis with those action items is going to be a huge, huge part of your success. There's two other things that I do that help me a lot with my consistency and follow through. I write down my three goals every single day. It's not enough to do just that, right? You have to have the daily drivers and you have to be paying attention to your execution of them, your consistency with them. But I want to bring my attention every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, to where I'm trying to go and also why that matters to me. And then the second thing that I do is I create a plan for my daily action items. So if one of my daily action items is no sugar, I'm writing down, okay, here's what I'm eating today. This is what I'm doing for breakfast. This is what I'm doing for lunch. This is what I'm doing for dinner. This is what I'm going to have for a snack if I'm feeling like I need a snack in between my meals. If I have a daily driver of strength training, I'm going to not just hope that I have time for a workout. I know that I'm working out at 7 o'clock this morning, or I'm working out at 1:30 after Roman goes down for his nap. I make a plan for it every single day. Even if the plan is today is not a strength training day and I'm going to get in 10,000 steps a day, here's how I'm getting in those 10,000 steps a day. I'm going to do half of them at 5:30 in the morning before the kids get up. And I'm going to do the other half after I put the kids to bed at night, right? You have to not just tell yourself you're going to do these things, but you've got to be setting yourself up for success and knowing how and when you're going to do them. If we just hope to fit them in after we do everything else we need to do in a day, you know how that's going to go. We're not just going to magically have the time, the desire at the end of the day to fit this stuff in. Make a plan for it and use your knowledge, your experience with your most common excuses, with the things that often get in your way. Use that knowledge and plan accordingly. I know for me that if I just say like, oh yeah, some healthy dinner, and I don't know what it's going to be, and I don't set it up in the morning, like if I need to take meat out of the freezer, if I need to have groceries delivered in the middle of the day, if I'm not intentional about that in the morning, 5 o'clock comes around and I'm like, crap, the kids are starving. I don't have anything. Let's just get burgers, right? So you have to have a plan in place. Now, how can you get a copy of this worksheet? You're going to go over to Instagram and then you're going to DM me 2024. All right. So you can respond to one of my stories, not a post, respond to one of my stories, or just to keep it simple, DM me, direct message me on Instagram with 2024. Just 2024, not hi, Elizabeth, happy new year, 2024, just 2024. And the reason that I say that, like not all of these other words, is because I set up basically that it happens automatically. So if I'm sleeping or if I'm playing with my kids, it's still going to go to you. And it's going to be a couple of things. So it's going to ask for your email address so that I can email you the worksheet. It's also going to send you a demo video because I know maybe you were driving, maybe you were doing something else. I created a demo video where I go into the spreadsheet and I explain every single field. Just remember that that's the setup. You still need to have a process, a habit for paying attention to your consistency with those daily drivers. I use the consistency calendar. I love that visual. It is important for me to be face to face with my daily action items every single day. But I also like the Streaks app for when I'm like out and about, not at my desk, because my consistency calendar is on the wall at my desk. I'll link the consistency calendar in the show description. I'm also going to link that Luma box. We'll talk about that in just a second. But if you want to get this template, this worksheet, go over to Instagram and send me a direct message with 2024, and it'll automatically go to you, the spreadsheet itself, the worksheet itself, as well as a video demo walking you through field by field, also walking you through how to make a copy of it. Because when you initially get the worksheet, you can't type into it because it would be, it's a shared link, obviously. So you just go to file and then you go to make a copy. But the demo video walks you through that. So if you're confused, don't worry. DM me 2024. You will get the demo video and the link to the worksheet. I'll also email it to you so you don't have to be like trying to find it in your DMs. And then in the show description, I'm also going to link LumaBox. So red light therapy is indisputably effective for so many things, increasing blood flow, increasing healing. The light exposure itself is really fantastic for energy and for mood. It helps with joint pain, reduces inflammation. I love the LumaBox because it is portable. It doesn't have to be plugged into anything. It's rechargeable. I use it like 2 to 3 times a day, and the charge holds for a couple of days. So I usually charge it every other day. I put it on my C-section incision. I've been putting it on my foot since I tweaked my foot at the gym the other day, on my low back. I love it so much. And when you use the code Elizabeth Benton, it cuts the price nearly in half. It is bonkers. One of my favorite purchases of the year. Go to thelumabox.com. That's thelumebox.com. I'll link it up in the show description. Use the code Elizabeth Benton. And again, it cuts that price almost in half. So, all right, I'm psyched to get this worksheet in your hands. If you have questions about it, let me know. And I will see you tomorrow.